All right, we're in Luke 22, 35 through 38. And he said unto them, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, when I sent you without purse and scrip, now a scrip is a bag for food. That's what that means. It doesn't mean money. Purse indicates the money, but scrip is a bag for food. When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. You could see what the disciples were concentrating on. The disciples were having, they had ears that were kind of growing to hear. But, you know, it's interesting how you and I, we have ears to hear some things, but we don't have ears to hear a lot of the times the important things. And they kind of, if there's such a word, glommed on to the fact that he said, get a sword. And they said, well, we have two swords. And he said, it is enough. Now, this instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ, from our Lord Jesus Christ, is given to the disciples in the upper room where the Passover has been celebrated and the ordinance of communion has been inaugurated by our Lord. And it appears that this instruction is the last instruction given before the group departs the upper room and goes to the Mount of Olives. And we see in this passage where the Lord Jesus Christ brings up this instruction, he refers to former instructions that he gave the disciples when he sent them into the villages and the towns, equipped with power over the devils, equipped to heal the sick, and equipped to preach the kingdom of God. So he refers to former instructions when he gives these new instructions as a contrast. And we read of this in Luke 9, 1 through 3, these former instructions. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And this is what we should concentrate on. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Don't take anything for your journey. Just go. No preparations, no deputation, no gathering of food, no gathering of money. Don't take staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. My, what a difference in instruction is taking place now compared to what took place during those days. And we see similar instruction is given to the group of 72 disciples in chapter 10 of Luke, where Jesus is careful to tell them to carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Apparently, the disciples didn't have wallets. I guess there's no room in a robe for a wallet, so they had some sort of a purse, some sort of a shoulder-harnessed object to carry things in. But that's what he told the 12 disciples and the 72 disciples. Just go, depending solely upon me. But in our passage for today, Jesus reminds them of this time where the disciples were sent without provision of money, food, or even shoes, and he asks them, did you lack anything? And they immediately said, nothing, we lack nothing. Everything was provided. They lacked nothing, and this was in spite of the fact that they were sent without provision. But that was a different time. It was a time of different circumstances, and Jesus makes it plain that the time has changed, conditions are different now, and new instructions are needed for new circumstances. And how is this indicated in this passage? It's indicated by our Lord using the words, but now. That's the transition here, but now. Remember when you went out and I told you to go out without anything? But now, there's a change here that you need to perk up your ears to. It was a time of different circumstances, and Jesus makes it plain that the time has changed. Conditions are different. So by these introductory words, he takes them from thoughts of the past and brings them to the present. These words are used, these words, but now, are used because there needs to be a change, for conditions have changed. Now, you know, when you read chapter, I think it was 8 and 10, you look at those instructions and it appears that Jesus is giving the disciples guidelines and principles which would govern their future missionary journeys. And it didn't appear in those instructions that they were time-related, that they had a limited time in which to follow these instructions. But here in our passage, we see that they are time-related. Now, in his sending out the disciples without provision, Jesus gave the disciples his assurance of his presence and protection. But now in this passage, it almost appears as though Jesus were telling these men that they are on their own and that they will have to handle their protection themselves. That's what it appears to be in this passage. And then what about this astounding sword instruction? This has kind of boggled the minds of many. Jesus is instructing his disciples to take a sword. Now, Peter would later be rebuked for using a sword to cut off the ear of the high priest. You know, that was the quickest transplant that was ever taken place in the world. He only lost his ear for a matter of seconds. Boy, that would have boggled the mind, wouldn't it? My ear's gone. No, my ear's here. But Peter was rebuked for that as he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant while attempting to resist the arrest of Jesus Christ. Matthew reported what Jesus said in Matthew 26, 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. My, it seems like there's conflicting things here. But there also seems to be a time to use the sword and a time to not use the sword. This use of the sword by Peter was obviously not the right time to use it because the Lord severely rebuked Peter and undid what the sword did. But notice that Jesus did not tell Peter to get rid of the sword, but to put the sword in his place. Put it back in its sheath. Don't throw it away, but put it back in the sheath. This isn't the time for the sword. In other words, there is a time and a place for the sword, but this is not the time, this is not the place. So this passage in chapter 22 has some puzzling instructions in it. But within the passage, as usually is the case in the Bible, there lies clues for its interpretation. You know, you've got to be kind of a detective when you study the Bible, don't you? It's kind of an interesting thing to be that detective and search for the clues. You know, God said, study to show thyself approved. He didn't say, I'm just going to dump it on you. I mean, he could have given you all Bible knowledge upon the new birth and you wouldn't have had to do anything. But he didn't do that. He said, study. So you got to get into it and find the clues. Now, the clue that Christ gives us is that which is written of him in Isaiah 53. And notice in verse 37 of our passage, Jesus Christ gives this clue. What are you talking about, Lord? Well, I want you to put your minds upon Isaiah 53. He didn't use 53 in those days. It was just Isaiah. I don't know how they numbered it in those days, but he says, focus on this. And he gives a bit of the passage. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So this is the clue. By saying this, he was pointing the disciples' minds back to Isaiah 53:12. Now you notice that the disciples' minds didn't get pointed back there. They were concentrating on the swords. They were looking for the kingdom. Man, we've got these swords. We're going to take Israel from the Romans. This is the time. But he wanted their minds to go back to Isaiah 53:12, where it says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. That's our Lord. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's where the Lord was taking the disciples here. But now, carry purse. Fill your bags with food. Take a couple of swords. And then he points them to Isaiah 53:12 about the fact that he's going to be numbered with the transgressors. So Jesus Christ connects these instructions to his disciples with his death and departure. Now that's a major change, isn't it, in the disciples' lives? There are big changes coming upon the disciples, and the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing them for these big changes. You know, that's what the Scriptures do for us. They prepare us for what's coming down the pike. We studied some of that where the Lord told us to lift up your head and know that your redemption is drawing nigh. He prepares us for what's coming on the earth. You know, there's things going on in this earth that are a little bit strange. And as we talked about that, we don't know whether we're in the foothills or where we are in the scheme of things, but there's changes taking place on this earth. You know, they're talking about running out of oil again. And then you think about the hordes of horses coming from the east into Israel. Why aren't they in tanks? Well, maybe the oil is gone. I don't know. A lot of things are taking place on the earth, but the Lord is good enough to prepare us for what's taking place. And he's doing this in the lives of the disciples because big changes are taking place. Things were changing fast for them, and the commandments of yesterday are not necessarily the commandments of tomorrow. You know, there's an old saying, but it's an important saying. Important sayings are old sayings. Nobody comes up much today with new sayings. They've all been said. But it says this, be flexible in the hands of the Lord. Be flexible in the hands of the Lord. You start getting rigid, you're going to go wrong. There's another saying that's based upon this, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Isn't that good? Now, that doesn't mean you're flexible in your doctrine, but you're flexible as to the will of God. The will of God may be for you to do this instead of you're so rigid in this. So there was flexibility required here of the Lord upon his disciples, for there was big changes taking place. Because the disciples yesterday's had been as little children walking with their father. You know, you think back on your departure from your family. You know, that was quite a thing. Here you are under the protective care of your family, and then all of a sudden you're kicked out of the nest. You know, you got to do that sometime with your children. You know, nowadays homes are made so comfortable for children, they never want to leave. That's a mistake. Don't get your home too comfortable. Get it comfortable after they leave. I remember that message that Howard preached one time about the eagle's nest, and the eagle every once in a while throws out some of the padding in the nest. And the little eaglets say, "This just isn't as comfortable as it used to be." And they boot him out. But that's what's taking place here. The disciples are getting booted out of the nest. Their yesterdays had been as little children walking with their father, and they enjoyed the experience of this. They realized there was no need for them to concern themselves with all these little multitudes of details, for Father was there to attend to all the necessary things. You know, you think about fathers and mothers. You're going on a trip. What do the little children do to prepare for the trip? Nothing. They got nothing. I'm going to worry about my food. I'm going to worry about my provisions. They do nothing. Are we going yet, Mama? They pile into the car. Everything's ready for them. Well, kids, it's not going to be that way all the time. There's going to be a time when you got to be kicked out of the nest. And then you got to prepare. And then someday you'll have children and you'll have to do the same thing that you did for them that was done for you. You know, you don't expect your little children to provide for the things you provide for. When's Haddon going to get a job? Huh? Bring in a little cash. Jared, how about Jared? Lazy thing, won't do a thing for himself. Bring in a little cash. No, fathers don't expect their little children to do that, but when they mature, they expect their children to do that. They back off. A wise father and a mother will back off. Start providing for yourselves. Down doing a little work here. You know, it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. Look at you. How about you? Didn't you bear the yoke in? Well, I want it easier for my children. No, you don't. Hopefully, it'll be harder. You know, because you know more. But in the past, they had been sent to preach and had seen how the promises of Jesus had been fulfilled. Their needs had been brought to him, and he had provided for those needs instantly, fed the 5,000. They didn't have to go and do any work for the food. His power had healed the sick. His provision had fed the hungry. His instruction has provided for all of their doubts, and they lack nothing, they said. But now, oh, hate to hear those words, but now. But you know, your children, one of these days down the road, your children are going to have to hear that, but now. Son, we've provided for you all these years. We've given you a comfortable home, but now. Now you're on your own. Now here in this passage, they're urged to give more attention to their own financial support. Under the new circumstances, without Christ's physical presence, God would not do for them what they should be doing for themselves. And And this instruction even extends to the need for a sword, for certain events in the future would even require the presence of a sword. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to be with his Father. He was leaving their presence. So there was a necessity for the disciples to face their problems without his presence. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us. But this change was a new economy for the disciples, and receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit required more than what a child could comprehend. There's a transition taking place here. You're going from the Lord's physical presence to being helped by the Holy Spirit. There's a time of transition here. This new economy was for grown-ups. You know, you don't hear that word much anymore, grown-ups. Is it because there aren't many? It's funny how things come in and go out. But this is the time to grow up, boys, the Lord was telling them, and to stand on your own two feet. The demands of the future necessitate a new outlook, a new approach. Instead of relying upon the presence of Christ, where there was much hand-holding by the Father to the child, the disciples were to act and to think more on their own. In other words, children are to grow up. Oh, as fathers and mothers, that's why we're given them for a time. You know, don't baby them forever. They need to stand on their own. They need to grow up. They are to go out into the big world to make their own decisions, earn their own money, manage their affairs, where both failure and success can be expected. Don't keep your children from failing. You know, you learn more in failure than you do in success. Oh, I don't want to have my child fail. Well, then they're not going to succeed. That's where the lessons are. So the Lord was teaching them the necessity of paying more attention to the normal matters of everyday living. He was saying, certainly you serve me, but look to satisfying your needs. Take a purse, provide for your food, and even take some actions to provide for some measure of your and your family's personal protection. You know, fathers, you're responsible for your family's personal protection. Now, this instruction to provide for their personal protection did not include the use of a sword against the servant of the high priest, for we know that Peter was rebuked for that. But the Lord is telling the disciples in generalities that these things upon which they relied the Lord to do are now to be their responsibilities. Grow up. Jesus Christ knew the future for these men and the future for all those that were his own. He knew the future. He knew what preparations they had to make. The days were at hand when thousands would die for their faith. We know from history the terrible torture that many would feel at the hand of the emperor, the burnings at the stake, the destruction and death that would occur even just a few years down when Jerusalem was destroyed. There were to be times when fathers would be called upon to defend their children from death and destruction and maiming. He knew that fathers couldn't stand by and watch this take place without doing something to try to avoid that. So Christ told his disciples to prepare for the days ahead when they would be recalled upon to fight for their faith when it was necessary. But Peter was rebuked for his misuse of the sword, but this did not include the complete abandonment of the sword. Malchus was the servant who lost his ear, and he was just there supporting the high priest. There was no need to use the sword against him, and certainly Peter wouldn't have been rebuked if he was defending the life of a child. So there are times for the sword, but those times must be regulated by the Word of God. You know, the hand that holds the sword is to be in the hand of the humble. This reminded me of the saying of President Teddy Roosevelt back in the early part of the last century. And this was his foreign policy when he said, "Walk softly and carry a big stick." You know, just the fact that you carry a big stick helps a lot, doesn't it? Not necessarily sticking your nose in everybody's business, but you got the big stick. Jesus Christ said, carry a sword. It is to be carried by a strong hand, but it is to be carried by a hand that is under the control of the Holy Spirit, for there may be a time to fight and die for the cause of Christ, but there also may be a time to surrender and to yield up your life. You know, the Scriptures aim you toward being wise to know which is which. God just doesn't tell us to carry the sword, but He gives us the information, gives us the truths in the Scriptures as to be wise enough when to use the sword and when not to use the sword. He gives us His Word, and He expects us to use and make decisions as to the use of the sword in accordance with His words. So Jesus Christ warns His disciples that there are days ahead filled with danger and death. And He brings up Isaiah 53, where He tells them that He's numbered with the transgressors, and He refers to that positioning that He takes upon the cross, where He is between two transgressors. We read of this in Mark 15:27, "And with Him they crucified two thieves, the one on His right hand and the other on His left, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and He was numbered with the transgressors." Jesus is telling His disciples that He is going to be dealt with as a criminal, and it can be expected that His followers will be thought of in the same way. You know, in their former missionary journeys, they were well regarded as to their reputation, but now this was not to continue, because He is going to be numbered with the criminals, and fellas, you're going to be numbered with the criminals also. Your status has changed. You know, this was a hard saying for the disciples. They looked for a triumphal Messiah. They didn't think about Isaiah 53. They thought about the triumphal Messiah of the Old Testament. They didn't have the complete picture, or they decided to put away that which they didn't like. But Isaiah 53 did not speak of a triumphal king, but rather spoke of a suffering Savior. It all comes together in one package, fellas. But this particular Old Testament scripture was needed at this time to turn the minds of the disciples to the reality of this time and this moment. Things are changing, fellas. This was the scripture that He spoke of as having to be fulfilled. He had to be numbered with the transgressors. And what is true about the Lord is also true about His followers. You know, that's something that we need to grasp. If you're a follower of Christ, you can expect anything to happen to you that happened to Christ. You know that? That's a somber thought. But Jesus had told them this truth in John 15, 18 through 20, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Why does the world hate you? Because you have a terrible personality, or is it because of your testimony in Christ? You know, the world can hate you for several reasons. Does it hate you for your testimony in Christ? Well, that's the right kind of hatred. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, fellas, this is what's taking place here. Oh, yes, there were glorious days. You came back from those villages and towns praising God and glorying in what took place. My, your hand was extended toward the sick and the suffering, and you cast out devils. Wow, those are glory days. But those days are behind. Jesus knew what was to take place in their lives, for they, by associating with Christ, were also to be identified as criminals. They must now be ready to endure men's rejection and persecution, not men's honor and praise. You know, there are times in the Christian walk where these things take place. Oh, yes, they're glory days, but are you ready for the days of persecution? Are you ready for the difficult days ahead? The but now of our Lord in verse 36 is intended to focus the disciples' attention on the change which was occurring in the minds of the people of Israel toward the Messiah. There was a great change taking place, and therefore there has to be a change in your thinking as to how you conduct yourselves. Jesus asked his disciples if they lacked anything when they went out before, and they came back with a resounding nothing. But why didn't they lack anything? Well, the reason that they didn't lack anything is because they were popular, as was their message. People welcomed them into their homes. They were healing. They were casting out devils. They were preaching the kingdom of God, and popularity ruled the day. But now, a more complete picture of the Messiah is coming out. The suffering Savior is coming out. The Savior that's hated, the Messiah that's hated, the Messiah that will be crucified, the Messiah that will be numbered between the criminals. Therefore, you fellas better get ready. The disciples are not to occupy themselves with thoughts of the kingdom, which included position and power, but now they're to prepare for the rejection and the persecution which Messiah was prophesied to experience in order to eventually enter into the blessed kingdom in time to come. That was what was taking place here. The crown is going to come, fellas, but the cross has to be faced before the crown. You know, we're to bear the cross of Christ. We're to suffer the hatred of the world. We're to suffer even if we're persecuted, and stand true to the Lord, for we know the crown is coming, but that's by faith. God's pleased when you exercise faith. God's pleased when you think about the crown while suffering the cross. And that was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, this transition from the glory days to the difficult days ahead, where persecution and trial and suffering would come. And now you've got to look after these things which I provided before. Oh, the Lord's good in preparing us for those things. You know, he doesn't want ignorant children. He wants children that know the Word of God and that take the Word of God and use that Word of God in their lives to prepare for what's on the horizon. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage in Scripture that reminds us of your care for us, Father. You don't leave us ignorant. You don't leave us defenseless, but you give us the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Help us, Father, in our service this morning. Bless our pastor as he speaks to us. Help us, Lord, to have a wonderful time of worship, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.